This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thanks for streaming WSOY on NowDecatur.com. This stream is presented by Hickory Point Bank, Invested. Their investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
Ceremony on Sunday at 6:15 p.m. at 501 Forsyth Parkway. Visitors can enjoy music by Maroa Forsyth High School, crafts by Maroa Forsyth FFA, carriage rides, s'mores, hot chocolate, books from the Forsyth Public Library, and of course, Santa and Mrs. Claus. The Milliken Homestead will open its doors on Sunday from 12:30 to 4:30 for a Christmas open house. Decorations have been hung and lights have been lit in preparation for the holiday season. Vespers is set to start its presentation at 2 that same afternoon. History of the Heartland invites everyone to come by either before or after the Vespers performance. Our doors are always open for you to check out more stories, podcasts, and videos. Stop by and visit our website anytime, nowdecatur.com.
The trains will keep it rolling. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Railroad unions that rejected a tentative contract agreement will not be allowed to go on strike next week once President Biden signs new legislation. They'll be forced to accept the deal.
The Senate voting 80 to 15 with one present. Congress intervened to prevent a national railroad strike for the first time in three decades. But pro-labor Democrats took a loss in the effort to salvage a shaky economy. A liberal push for medical leave could have tanked the deal, but the paid medical leave couldn't overcome a filibuster.
That's Fox's Chad Pergram. A setback for former President Trump in the classified document investigation he calls a witch hunt, now led by a special counsel. Fox's Kristen Goodwin explains.
The 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reverses a U.S. district judge's order appointing a special master to sort through documents seized at former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home, rejecting arguments from the former president's attorneys that a third party was necessary and claims that records were protected by attorney-client privilege or executive privilege, saying the law is clear. We cannot write a rule that allows any subject of a search warrant to block government investigations after the execution of the warrant.
Now, that could head to the Supreme Court, just like President Biden's fight to keep his student loan debt forgiveness plan alive after two appeals courts upheld separate challenges to his authority to create such a program. Today, the president will go to Boston and meet with British royalty, Prince William and his wife, Kate, the day after a formal state dinner in honor of French President Emmanuel Macron, after the two met and said they
stand as strong as ever against Russia's brutal war against Ukraine.
Shots fired early this morning at a home that was on fire in Rowan County, North Carolina. Someone started shooting as help arrived. A firefighter and two law enforcement officers were injured but are expected to survive, unlike the gunman who was killed when they shot back. America's listening to Fox News.
Smith & Wesson is committed to empowering Americans no matter what. With inflation hitting everywhere, we've decided to make a change. Now, you can buy a Smith & Wesson Shield Plus, our most popular concealed carry firearm, at an all-new low price, $100 off MSRP. We're absorbing the costs and passing along the savings to you so you don't have to compromise on personal security. Visit SmithandWesson.com to find a Shield Plus near you. Smith & Wesson. Always expect the best.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
After cryptocurrency exchange FTX fell into bankruptcy, a Senate hearing.
The Senate Agriculture Committee heard from the chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, Rostam Benham, who warned of more FTX-style trouble without new regulatory authority. Benham explained the SEC has authority over crypto securities, but for those considered commodities,
we simply do not have authority to register cash market exchanges or any intermediary broker-dealer or entity within that structure. And
in other words, no one's watching to make sure FTX or companies like it are essentially not gambling with investors' money, keeping investor money separate from house money. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Next hour, we'll get the monthly jobs report and the new unemployment rate expected to remain at 3.7%.
Economists are predicting that the Labor Department's report will show that the November payroll gain will be even smaller than October, with around 200,000 jobs added during the month. The figure is down from a stronger than expected tally of 261,000 in October and would mark the weakest job growth since December of 2020.
Fox's Hillary Barsky. Wall Street could react to the report. For now, stock futures are down moderately. On Thursday night football, the Bills beat the Patriots 24-10.
It was a dominating performance by the Buffalo defense, holding New England under 250 yards of total offense. The Bills offense also did its part, with Josh Allen throwing a pair of touchdown passes to Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, and Devin Singletary running for a score. Buffalo improves to 9-3 on the season and moves a half game ahead of Miami for first place in the AFC East. The Dolphins face the 49ers Sunday. The loss drops the Patriots to 6-6 on the season and a game and a half out of the final wild card spot in the AFC. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
At soccer's World Cup, there will be four more matches and four more countries will advance the day after Germany was eliminated. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Morse code is about freedom. It's about living the life by your own unique code. This is Dr. J. Join me and sometimes the handsome Dr. JK each Wednesday at 5 p.m. for The Morse Code. We talk about living life authentically. And for me, that is aligning who I am, what I believe, and what I do. That is The Morse Code. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. on WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, and streaming live on NowDecatur.com.
Good morning. Here's a look at your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast. Today is mostly cloudy, high of 54. Winds could gust as high as 45 miles per hour. Tonight, slight chance of rain after 11 p.m., cloudy with a low around 26, and winds that could gust as high as 48 miles per hour. For Saturday, sunny and windy with a high of 34. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 42. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 37 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:06. Happy Friday.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of Byers and Company. We've got a lot to get to today, including our first weekend $500 giveaway with Jingle Bucks with Acre Point Bank Invested. Your chance to win, plus the Education Spotlight, Mark Tupper, and much more. Company starts now.
Byers and Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. So I'm driving along this morning and a rainstorm shower out of nowhere that lasts three blocks, maybe.
It's my fault. I decided to get out of my car.
At the same time.
Yeah, so the rain needed to kick in for me to walk the 40 feet to the door.
Oh, you had rain down here too?
Just right when I got out of the car.
Yeah, I said there was none when I got here.
That was it.
And I was on the Lost Bridge and it just opened up like double speed wiper, kind of rain.
Yeah.
And then it was just gone.
Yeah, I mean, it was so short. It was bizarre.
We're going to have windy conditions again today because for some reason we live in West Texas. The last couple of years, 40-mile-an-hour wind today, but warmer temperatures. That helps, but it'll feel much cooler, I am sure. Good morning and welcome. We have a lot to get to here today. We have the FFA president in the studios with us coming up a little bit later today, and somebody who made the list for a very intriguing NPR story. We have Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. We've got the folks from Brinkotter stopping by. Angela will be back from her vacation. You think she'll be tan?
Yeah, probably.
Still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Redheads have a hard time tanning.
She said that's what she does.
Okay, we'll see. We'll find out. She'll be here in person. We have a whole bunch to get to. All right, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the Kanye thing. I got to think that there has to be somebody in his life, someone, a manager, a family member, a friend that has got to like body tackle him the next time he's going to go do an interview.
I had a thought in my head about this yesterday, the stuff that happened yesterday, that it is so intentionally destructive that it sort of it makes me wonder if he's trying to tank himself.
It could be.
Or even like, you know, like a suicide type thing.
I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I don't have any. I know of the things that he suffers with as it pertains to mental illness and his own well-being. You got the people that are Alex Jones of the world that are going to take advantage of this just to sort of get numbers because they owe $1 billion to those Sandy Hook families. And they're going to do anything for money. The idea that he's hooked up now with this Fuentes idiot and the idea that he just keeps ramping it up and ramping it up and ramping it up. I mean, if I told you, hey, on InfoWars today, there's going to be Kanye and this Fuentes guy and whatever else. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. You know it's going to be bad.
Yeah. It was.
It was beyond bad.
There were times that Kanye was saying things and Alex freaking Jones was trying to walk him back from them.
I didn't know. You watched it?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I watched a grand total of probably about 45 seconds of it.
Okay.
Where Kanye would say something so outlandish that Alex would say something like, what you're meaning to say is that, like, yeah, here's your out.
When the host has to, and the host is Alex Jones.
Yes. And that's why I brought it up.
They're walking you back. You know you're in an area of no-go.
He was wearing a ski mask, gloves.
What was the mask thing?
He's been.
It didn't even look like a ski mask.
It's like see-through, like almost like black pantyhose. He brought props with him. He was doing voices. He was. Some of his quotes are just unbelievable.
So can I ask about, I mean, the obvious stuff is the obvious stuff. I mean, we know that, right? I mean, you can't talk about how you love Nazis and you can't talk about the good that Hitler did. There are the things that are just abundantly obvious for most people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea that you're going to go on and double down and triple down and keep doing this. The mask thing is weird. It didn't look like pantyhose. It looked like something much thicker than that. I don't know what that is all about. Who knows? But the idea that you just keep doing this and doing this and doing this and, you know, people are beyond feeling sorry for you.
Yeah, that's why I feel like it's something else.
Okay. You don't think it's just the need to have the attention?
No, he gets that.
He has that.
Well, no.
Yes.
I mean, yes, Nick, but not in a way that he had it 6 months ago.
Prior to this goofy stuff.
Yeah, it's not goofy. This is horribly anti-Semitic racist stuff. It's not, I'm not
downplaying it. I'm saying before he started on this clear path that was a hard right turn or left turn or whatever, a hard turn.
Yeah.
He's selling $1 billion worth of shoes. He's selling out 100,000 person arenas.
Right. He had that. And then in a day, in his own words, he lost $1 billion.
But the turn had already happened.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so now he's, I think, somehow desperate to stay on that stage. And there are, unfortunately, far too many people that are willing to give him the microphone to keep doing this. And I don't know what Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson or these other, I don't know what they get out of this other than they've got a black guy who will agree with them on a issue like Trump or something like that. And then they just give him a platform for him to self-destruct, and ruin his life and career. And they don't care because all they want are the numbers. Mm-hmm. They want us to talk about it.
Sure.
I don't, what do you expect to happen on InfoWars with Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes and Kanye West?
Nothing good.
Right. So I don't understand. And he is clearly, I think since the divorce, which I think was finalized over
$200,000 a month in payments he owes,
which seems weird to me.
Yeah, they've got full covered, full custody. It's shared.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The point being that I can't believe that Kim Kardashian needs financial support.
Yeah.
That is the weird patriarchal thing in our courts. I mean, and I'm not like taking it for him. I'm going, you know, when billionaires split, why do they have to worry about cash?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Okay. So, but it seems like that was the beginning of the downfall of the spiral of all the stuff with the Pete Davis. I mean, the threats, the whole thing, the public, throwing out and the airing of the dirty laundry. And then all of a sudden that's not enough. And we'll just go into the whole anti-Semitism thing. And the host that I think you were referring to was the other podcaster that was trying to walk back this stuff. I don't know that Alex Jones was.
I mean, I listened to
it. Okay. All right. There was a podcast that he stormed out of or walked out of this week as well.
Yeah, I saw that.
When the guy was trying to sort of clarify and saying, you know,
Alex Jones wasn't trying to oversave him. He was trying to give him slight clarifications like two or three times where it's like,
all right. I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no reason. I've never watched InfoWars. I have no use for Alex Jones. I have no use for any of this stuff. And I've, in fact, the more you talk about it, because the danger is that he's got a lot of followers. And you can go, oh, Kanye's suffering from mental health issues. Okay, we can all, I think, probably agree with that. That doesn't excuse what he's doing. And more importantly, it doesn't change the fact that he reaches a ton of people and then what somebody else might do with that.
All right.
That's the danger.
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting to me as we watch all of this stuff swirl around. I have to ask you, I read the whole LeBron James remarks to the reporters yesterday about why they weren't asking him about Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, when they were asking about Kyrie Irving. And I really kind of went, I'm not connecting those dots. It was evidently put out in a news story in the last week or so that Jerry Jones, as a 14-year-old kid, right?
Yep.
Was pictured in a very controversial time in our life about segregation in college campuses. I mean, it's something you're taught about in every single history book or history class, right? And it was from 1957, full 10 years before I was born, that he was there in a crowd of white students that were the story says attempting to block six black students from entering the North Little Rock High School in 1957. I from the picture, I don't know that. And I also don't trust me. I'm the last guy on earth that's going to stand up for Jerry Jones. I don't like the guy. there's nothing about him that I'm a fan of. But he was a 14-year-old kid in 1957 in the South. What do you think the norms were back then? As heinous, as horrible, as awful as it was.
I mean, that
he's
would...
standing in a crowd.
I mean, that seems like the norms. I mean, we know what the norms are in that time. Yeah, that time, you know, more so than they are these days. They were certainly amped up, and that was of the time. But, you know,
what I don't understand is all of this. We want to do equivalencies of things. I mean, you want to compare a 14-year-old Jerry Jones to a fully grown adult Kyrie Irving. I mean, we get this sometimes with the draft, like all of a sudden somebody did something on Twitter when they were 14, mm-hmm. and then they're an adult and you want to go back. My go-to thing on this was Jerry Jones was 14 years old.
Yeah.
I have no idea what his intent was, what his heart is. I'm not a fan. I'm not even trying, but I don't understand the deflection thing. If you really want to combat racism and awful thought about other groups of people, you can't go, well, what about that? That doesn't work, does it?
Probably sometimes, but no, everything needs to be gobbled up as it's happening and direct.
What I'm asking is some of the behavior on behalf of some high profile black Americans with the anti-Semitism, you don't get to go, oh, look in 1957 at 14-year-old Jerry Jones and somehow go that I don't know what the point is.
Yeah.
One doesn't erase the other.
I saw LeBron. I saw like a couple of things pulled out of it. I didn't read what he was really trying to do with that.
He at the end of a press conference or at the end of it, you know, wanted to chide the reporters because he's wondering why they're not asking him about Jerry Jones, but they're asking him about Kyrie Irving. I don't know. First of all, you're in the same sport with Kyrie. I mean, Kyrie Irving's story is a real time story, not something that happened in 1957 with a 14-year-old kid. And even if you want to take the darkest view of what Jerry Jones was doing there that day as a 14-year-old kid, what in the hell does that do to change anything Kyrie Irving's done?
Yeah, they don't seem related in that regard. And maybe I haven't read it. I don't want to speculate. I was assuming maybe that it, you know, he's not to, I don't, why are you asking me about someone else? I'm not him. Why wouldn't you randomly ask me about somebody doing that over there? I don't know.
I'll give you the full quote.
I don't believe he and Kyrie get along very well anymore.
There's a lot of friction there, yeah. Through the years. I got one question for you guys before you guys leave. I was thinking when I was on my way over here, I was wondering why I haven't gotten a question from you guys about the Jerry Jones photo. But when Kyrie thing was going on, you guys were quick to ask us questions about that. Now, that isn't him. You know, that's him saying, why aren't you asking me about this thing so I can comment? Mm-hmm. But I don't want to comment about the other thing that you're asking me about. Or why are you doing this but not this? I just look, the anti-Semitism, you can't explain it away. You can't excuse it away. There's a strain of this out there that's growing and growing and growing. And you can look at what's happened in Jewish communities and what's happened with attacks on synagogues and what's happening even around the world, not just here in the United States. This thing is becoming an ugly, 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 ugly thing again.
Yeah.
And you can sit around and talk about Kanye West's mental health, and you should, because it concerns me. I don't want to see the guy harm himself. I hate to see this self-destruction. I hate to see this stuff. If it's truly what he believes in his heart, then it's heinous. But there are other factors involved with what's going on with him that's clear for everyone to see if you step back and just look at it. But I don't understand why, if you really do, if you're against and condone hate and condone, you know, this way of thinking, you got to be that way across the board universally.
Yeah, I think so. I think as these things, and that might be, again, I mean, that's, you know, I saw LeBron use the word, the Jerry Jones thing was buried. It's like, that's, I think that might be what he was trying to say.
Okay. Give me the context of what it means today as a news story, as a headline, as a, you know, it buried, it was put out there. I mean, it was released. It was a news story. And don't you think most people go, 14-year-old kid?
I mean, yeah, I do think that. I mean, from his perspective.
Okay. First of all, I'll give you plenty of time to do that. I'm talking about what Kanye West is doing in 2022, what Kyrie Irving is doing in 2022 versus a 14-year-old kid in 1957. If you think those things are equal news stories, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, you're seeing stuff that's drug up, like the draft, you know, NBA draft.
It's ridiculous when they go back and find stuff that these kids do when they're 13, 14, 15 years old. Because you're allowed at that age, you're still growing into a human being to make mistakes and do stupid things. And they could be wrong, and you point out that they're wrong. It's not the same thing as a grown man doing it, you know, in their 30s.
Sure. You know, but when something like that comes up, a kid will tumble down the draft board. They lose millions of dollars and, you know, and then their whole thing is just,
I think it's ridiculous when these sports reporters go back and troll this stuff on kids, you know, and maybe those kids turn out to be horrible adults. I'm not, you know, saying it always ends up well, but I mean, are you really going to be held to the same standard as a 14-year-old kid in 1957 to a fully grown adult in 2022?
No, and I just found a clip that he said in there, which I think is indicative of why he brought it up, and not necessarily for Jerry Jones per se, but he used Jerry Jones as the way of saying what he wanted to. He said, and I feel as a black man, as a black athlete, as someone with power and a platform, when we do something wrong or something that people don't agree with, it's on every single tabloid, every single news coverage, it's on the bottom ticker, it's asked about every single day. And so he feels like every day he shows up and he's talking about a guy from the Nets that he doesn't even get along with every single day, but he's never asked about
something happened in 1957 to a 14-year-old kid. I mean, that's no spatial relationship with reality. That you think that those things are equal news stories.
You don't see the connection at all to what he was trying to say with that?
I think that he has a forum that he uses. And he uses it to everything, I mean, to his advantage, every chance he gets to a gigantic audience as being a superstar athlete and one of the most famous people in the world. He gets to set the tone on conversation daily. No one is keeping LeBron James from speaking out about whatever he wants to speak out about.
That's not what he was complaining about. He was complaining about what people come to him for and what, and he feels what is a perceived, you know, bias.
Okay. I don't think anybody asked him about Kanye West. They asked him about an NBA player.
You don't think anybody's asked him about Kanye West?
I've not heard him.
I would wager everything.
Before you wager everything, find it. Yeah. He brought up Kyrie Irving, not Kanye West, a fellow NBA player in the present. I mean, is that not different than an NFL owner when he was 14 years old in 1957 as far as relevance of reporters asking questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think LeBron likes the free speech stuff and the condemnation one way. I mean, I think he wants to have his voice to say whatever he wants to, and that's great. We saw that with everything that happened in Asia. When somebody else wanted to speak up about people's human rights or people being treated poorly, right? What did he do?
He punted.
Yeah. He did worse than punted. He condemned. So I am not taking up for Jerry Jones. I'm not a fan of Jerry Jones. I have no idea what was in Jerry Jones's head all the way back to 1957 as a 14-year-old kid. No idea. But I'm also not the one who's going to judge what a 14-year-old kid does today with some stupid Twitter thing because they're 14. Right.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's ridiculous when sports reporters, and I'm not even taking it for the sports reporters. And I'm not even condemning LeBron. He can talk about whatever he wants to talk about. I'm just saying, you can't apologize away this anti-Semitism stuff that's coming out from some of the biggest black superstars on earth.
Was he even taking up for Kyrie? Seriously. I've not heard him come to his aid. I've heard him condemn him.
Wondering why you asked me about Kyrie, but you're not asking me about Jerry Jones.
That's not
you
don't saying think that's okay deflecting? Over there?
You don't think it's deflecting?
It's absolutely deflecting. Like, quit talking to me about this. Why don't you also talk to me about that? Okay. It's not saying that he condoned it.
He's making it equivalent.
He's saying, why are you asking me about bad stuff on one side and not the other side? That's all he's saying.
No, what he's saying is, why are you asking me about a fellow NBA player in 2022?
That is so specific.
Versus a guy who was 14 years old in 1957. And acting like that is an equal news cycle. That's exactly what he said.
It's not exactly what he said. It's not. I read you what he said. He didn't say that exactly at all.
He said, I got one question for you guys before you leave. I was thinking when I was on my way over here. I was wondering why I haven't gotten a question from you guys about the Jerry Jones photo. But when the Kyrie thing was going on, you guys were quick to ask us questions about that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
That's not equivalent. That's not bringing in, well, if you're going to talk about racism, why aren't you asking me about this?
Yes. He and I read to you that he feels as though that when there is a problem that's related to black people in specific, they talk to him about it and it stays in the cycles. And then other stories just, as in his words, get buried.
Okay. You think the 14-year-old 1957 story was buried because they don't want to talk about white people being racist. They only want to talk about that. Well, then what is the question that he was asking?
Brian, I don't know how to reword it in a way.
You don't need to reword it. I'm asking you what he said.
And I told you what he said.
Okay.
He has a feeling that it's
equivalent.
He has a feeling that it's not equivalent. It's literally the opposite of equivalent.
No, that it should be equivalent.
Yes, that is exactly it. Not Jerry Jones per se, but white things
and
black
things. That's what he said.
He used that as the example, okay, as they use Kyrie.
Okay.
And he did not come to Kyrie's aid or condone what Kyrie's doing.
I can go give you 100 sources of horrible racist behavior by white people this month. I don't got to go back and find a 14-year-old kid in 1957 to make an equivalent argument about why you're not asking me about this.
I agree. That one just was in the news, and that's probably why
I buried it. Why was it? If it was in the news, how was it buried?
It was in the news, and then it got buried.
Who buried it?
You'll have to ask LeBron. I don't clearly have the answer for this.
I just want to know why.
I don't know why.
Okay. Well, maybe that would have been easier.
You asked my opinion. It was not good enough.
Why do you take this personally? I have no idea, because I'm not asking you to defend or not defend anyone. I'm just curious as to why this specifically was brought up.
I have a feeling he's a Cowboys fan, just to give some context.
Okay. Well, if you're a Cowboys fan, you probably hate Jerry Jones for 100,000 reasons.
Well, and he has been, over the years, asked about Jerry Jones when it was the kneeling, when it was...
Yeah.
So it's a sort of a known thing. And every day he shows up to work at his job in L.A., not in New York, and he's asked about some guy that's representing his coworkers, his race, his industry in a bad way over, probably asked about Kanye, but then something pops up over here. Nobody asks him about it. That's all he's saying.
Okay. I get it. If that's all it is, that's all it is. But the idea that the only way LeBron James' voices gets heard is what question a reporter asks is beyond ridiculous.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying, why do you guys always ask me that? Not what he can go out and say on his own.
Okay.
That wasn't his complaint. He'll just go say what he wants on his own. So that's why
he was the owner that got fired and kicked out of their job that owned the Clippers, right?
Yes, Donald Sterling.
Do you not think that NBA players get asked questions about the NBA at a higher level than they do?
For sure.
History.
For sure. And they'll, for sure they do.
Okay. So that is, but he is couching it as some sort of, not even, I wouldn't use the word conspiracy, but some sort of concerted effort that you're asking me about this, but not that. Why? You're in the NBA.
And then he also cited that it's on, you know, the bottom of all the TVs. It stays in the cycle. That's what he has a feeling okay. that it is weighted one way.
All right.
I don't know if he's right.
In this case, I don't think he's even close to being right. That you're not asking about a current NBA player at the same level as what a 14-year-old kid did in 1957 in another sport.
I bet he would concede that instantly and go, all right, how about this, 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 and this?
Fair enough.
What I'm guessing.
Fair enough.
It's more of the greater good, and you're right. You could pick a better story than a 60-year-old.
What I feel like, though, story. There is a bit of, like, with... And this happens all the time. Like, we condemn it when it happens with the Trump supporters that are just, you can't elevate the conversation into something else. These are just horrible people. The Fuentes got, you know, just racist, horrible people. And you get people sort of apologizing, not really apologizing, but kind of going, whoa, what about this bad over here? And I feel like when there are major stars like Kyrie Irving or Kanye West who have done just reprehensible things, there's always this knee-jerk thing to kind of go, well, what about this other stuff? It's all bad. It's all bad. You can't go, oh, well, less bad than that. Not with the things that have been said.
Right. And I think that is his point.
Okay, well, then maybe we're in complete agreement.
Yeah, I do.
That's not what I took from it at all.
I do think that's what he's saying. He's not saying Kyrie's good. He's not taking up for him. He's saying, here's bad. Let's look at all the bad.
Okay.
Let's look at all the bad.
But when you make a specific example and when you put them side by side, you are doing the equivalent thing. That's exactly what you are doing. When you go, you didn't ask me about this, but you asked me about that. What you are saying is, look, that's equal behavior. And all I'm saying, not a Jerry Jones fan in the least. Not at all. Not taking up for him. He might have been a horrible redneck cracker that was god awful, but he was also a 14-year-old kid in a photograph.
Right. Yeah, and we're in lockstep on that. I mean, not that it excuses it, makes it okay,
not at all.
Anything like that.
But it also, to me, has nothing to do with what Kyrie Irving has done.
Right, and I don't think that he's saying it's okay. Direct in that way.
You have a lot more faith in him. I think he steps in it more than he doesn't these days.
No way. Okay. Not even close.
All right. If he's saying all bad, then why, when things were pointed out,
he's hypocritical like all of us.
Okay, it's not all things about how people are treated.
He's not missing way more. He's trying to do good.
Okay. I don't doubt that.
He does miss. I told you. You heard, watch my little heart get broken when
I know what I think you guys, I think you root for these guys as like you know like that they're somehow they're human beings at the end of the day.
That's why
how
I
much
root
money?
For them.
Okay.
Because of that, because they're human beings. I'm not buying his shoes and worshiping LeBron James. I'm a Michael Jordan guy.
Oh, we know. You're collecting those because you're lonely. I get them.
I'm a Michael Jordan guy, but I appreciate him trying to make his world better.
But if he can go back to 1957, he can go to China.
Yeah, he can.
Present day.
And hopefully he gets that right.
Yeah.
He's got room to grow.
I mean, everybody's got room to grow, Nick. But if you're going to call out bad behavior, it's got to be bad behavior. You can't look at one and go, well, what about this? Every time you do the what about this, you're downplaying a little about what was done. Every time you do the, well, yeah, this is bad, but look over here. That is the very definition of doing that. It's not saying, he didn't say, I absolutely condemn the anti-Semitism of Kyrie Irving. Did he?
He didn't really even speak on him. He just said
he brought his name into the conversation. He wasn't even asked a question. This was his statement to the press after the press conference.
But
was
he
over.
Didn't weigh in on his good or bad. He said, you ask me about this all the time. He didn't say, hey, I, that's, and I think he's on record condoning Kyrie over and over.
Well, for a lot of reasons, NBA related for sure.
Yeah, when they all were over teammates. The place. Yeah, he's a hot mess.
Yeah. I just think that we are in a time right now where people have the ability that everybody acts like the press has all this power. LeBron James can go to 300 million people without even talking to a reporter. I mean, Kanye West can go to 300 million people without doing InfoWars with Alex Jones. In fact, I'm not even sure why he's doing, you know, other than it's some sort of validation that somebody will give him an interview or put a microphone in front of him and still have him as a guest.
Yeah, you're right. Here, real quick, a quote from LeBron on Kyrie. It's simple. Me personally, I don't condone any hate to any kinds, to any race, to Jewish communities, to black communities, to Asian. But you guys know where I stand. I believe what Kyrie did caused some harm to a lot of people, and he's caused some harm, and I think it's unfortunate.
Unfortunate and caused harm is not a condemnation to me. He didn't say there's no room for this. He caused some harm, and it's unfortunate. Those aren't strong words.
I don't stand on the position to harm people when it comes to your voice or your platform, so it doesn't matter what color your skin is, how tall you are, what position you're in. If you're promoting or soliciting or saying harmful things to any community that harm people, then I don't respect it. I don't condone it.
Okay. But then read the rest of it. Because he comes back, and I mean, the words are important, Nick. I mean, he comes back and he says it's unfortunate. Unfortunate. Is that a word you would use with somebody who's doing racist stuff? I mean, it's unfortunate. It's harm. It's caused some harm to some people. Doesn't it cause harm to everyone? I mean, when we put this stuff out there, when you have a platform and you're a superstar and you do this, it's not unfortunate. That word you wouldn't use. Maybe you would because you're pretty polite. Unfortunate is a word that you sort of dance around condemnation. It means, that was too bad that happened.
On their TV show, while the shop embraces thoughtful discourse and differing opinions, we have zero tolerance for hate speech, and that we will never allow our channels to be used to promote hate. This is a Maverick Carter with LeBron.
Now go look at some of the things he said about Kyle Rittenhouse. Go look at some of the things he said about some other high-profile news stories. And the words aren't unfortunate or it harmed some people. The words are way more harsh. I mean, he's not afraid to be harsh. And he should be. He should be harsh about that kind of behavior. I just think LeBron wants it both ways. And I understand that if you're, I think athletes in general hate talking about this stuff unless they have the control of the narrative to talk about this stuff. They don't like to be asked questions. They don't like to be put on the spot. I understand that. I mean, ask me about basketball. Of course, he probably doesn't want to talk about the Lakers either. But ask me I get why there are people that go that don't want to comment about teammates. Teammates screw up in a locker room. The rest of the team hates that, right? Because then they got to answer all the questions about the teammate. And they'd rather just talk about the sport. This guy's a little different. He's got a gigantic platform and has made all of this stuff about who he is. I respect that he's more than a basketball player and uses his fame the way Muhammad Ali did or other people to push society to a place where they want to see it. I respect all of that. But the whataboutism, if it's going to work, it's got to work both ways. And I am not a hater. Never have been. Even when everybody was like burning his jersey or whatever, I go into Miami, I'm like, what happened to the guy? And I'm entertained by the guy, and I think he's got a ton of personality. I just think sometimes when there is a chance to be universal in what you believe, he parses it. He did it with China. When a fellow NBA player was just literally tweeting out about people's rights. He absolutely punted because it was getting into his wallet. Hard for me to get preached at by somebody who can ignore other people's suffering when you're all about changing the world and erasing suffering. And maybe more people should ask about Jerry Jones. I mean, would it surprise you? I mean, if you were to find out that Jerry Jones tomorrow was a closet racist and one of these Southern, would that surprise anyone? It wouldn't surprise me. But he was a 14-year-old kid in a black and white photograph from 1957. And maybe he just wants to make the point. Okay, made the point. But it's like, I want to make the point, then I want to sort of get gray. If the point is you see equivalence between these two things, then say that.
I think it's as simple as white and black to him. I think
sometimes it is.
I think literally that's what he was saying. You don't ask me about that.
Okay. We have had, there's all kinds of threats that are happening at schools. We had a story out of Decatur schools, and then I got a press release from Urbana where they had the same thing going on there. And they say this is a national thing that is going on. You know anything about this, just as your role as a teacher?
No, other than what I anecdotally pick up outside of work. So no institutional type.
There's like emails and things that are going on threatening violence to staff or students. This was at Urbana High School, including a bomb threat. And there was a totality of circumstances is the verbiage they use. There's this national trend of what we would have called a hoax back in the day. I don't think we live in a world anymore where that word applies. You know, I mean, even if it is literally a hoax.
Right.
Because you can't.
You have to treat them all like they're going to happen.
Yeah.
You have to.
And they said in the press release that based on a collaborative effort from the Urbana Police Department, FBI, and in large part Urbana School District and their staff members, a 16-year-old female student was identified as a person sending the threats. And that juvenile was identified on November 16. They don't use the name. Just the legalese about being young and incredibly stupid. And questioned about her involvement in the matter, she was ultimately arrested. And during the course of her arrest, she battered a police officer by kicking and scratching him. The juvenile was subsequently transported to the Champaign County Juvenile Detention Center, where she is awaiting further legal proceedings for terroristic threats and aggravated battery to a police officer. I remember being in school and people pulling fire alarms or calling in threats. I don't know how we live in this world. I don't know how to, you know, is she a terrorist or a screwed up 16-year-old kid?
Or both. And I don't know the answer. I
don't either, but my guess would be, given the percentage of numbers, is that she's a screwed up 16-year-old kid. Yeah. And not some sort of person who's been like jihaded online, you know, by some, you know.
But if you do a terroristic thing, is it just by definition?
That's what I'm wondering.
If your mess up is a bomb.
What happened? Well, but if your mess up is a bomb, your mess up is a bomb. If your mess up is I threatened a bomb, but I don't have a bomb, right, and I'm a screwed up 16-year-old kid.
That's a good question.
I wonder sometimes whether or not we are categorized. I mean, I understand. Look, the police down there in Texas are getting sued for what?
Everything they've ever had.
Well, no, I mean, there was a number on it. It was unbelievable. $27 billion or something. Yeah. You know, and you watch those videos and you go, okay, I don't understand that. And then I think about people keep talking about the fights in high schools and the stuff. And I wonder how different is it really from 1984 to today versus the way it could get hyped up today versus the way it could get hyped up in 1984.
I think those are both multiplying factors to be considered, because absolutely a fight in the hall is a fight in the hall. 1915, 1960, 1970, 2022. You know, you're right.
And students mobbing around and doing whatever. Yep. It's like how we define it today.
That's right. I remember.
I mean, somebody like a teacher would grab a kid by their ear back in the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Now that would be.
Oh, yeah.
Some sort of criminal assault on top of the mob action that just happened with the terroristic threat.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to navigate this stuff because we just have more information. I was a MacArthur kid. Why would I know any real details about a fight in Urbana, you know, or let alone Eisenhower? And now We get up to the minute, you know, breaking.
Well, we get up to the minute because somebody's got a phone.
Correct.
And they're
That's
filming
what I'm saying.
And
so,
and it is amazing. I remember this, you know, this phenomenon would happen during things like the Decatur celebration.
Mm-hmm.
You bring, you know, 100,000 people into downtown and four girls get into a fight at the carnival. And all of a sudden that thing's like got 86,000 impressions,
right,
you know, on Facebook, because that's what we dig into. It's what we like. I say the collective we. Mm-hmm. I'm not in that group, but it's what we do as mm-hmm. people. And then we go, oh, look how dangerous that is. It's like, no one even saw that except right. the eight people filming it.
There's a little spot, you know?
Yeah. So I do think, in what I have heard from administrators and principals, and we're going to have an FFA president and a great kid from MacArthur in studios here in about 12 minutes, because we feel it's important to give you that balance. Mm-hmm. I know everybody was, why aren't you talking about this? Because this is the anomaly versus what goes on
the everyday stuff
98% in the class, of the time. That there is a problem right now and has been since the beginning of the year with those sixth graders who basically missed all of junior high.
Yeah,
and went right into high school. You know, the lack of socialization. Like, I don't know what your middle school experience was like. When I was in, you know, seventh grade, we didn't have K through eight schools.
Right.
You know, it was like you would go to a middle school and you got lockers.
Yeah, it was your first time with lockers
and
you changing classes.
Changing classes, and you had different people you were sitting next
free
to
lunch,
and all mean, of that kind of thing.
Freedom to do different things at lunch. Yeah.
Choices. And you had some of that sort of as a gateway to getting ready for your freshman year of high school, of just doing things differently than you had known K through six. And so I think there is a legit thing going on right now with that, with those younger kids. We've heard that from students. I've heard that from principals and administrators. So it is a thing. But we tend to sort of think of it as like, oh, it's only here, or oh, it's only, no, these things are universal.
Yeah, there's a big difference between being in third grade and coming back to the classroom in fifth, where you're just basically, there's your new desk, different room, new desk, versus, hey, now everything is completely changed. Everything that you've done, get in there with the older kids.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
no, I mean,
yeah,
there has to be.
A lot of factors. It's
and
way
then
different.
Also, not only being thrown into that, but having, you know, basically a year and a half at home.
By yourself.
By yourself in front of a screen and, you know, not having that, you know, and all. You know, I think it will work itself out. I think there's probably some extra effort that needs to be put towards X, Y, or Z. But these threats now, I mean, this is literally now what would have been a suspension in 1982. Not to wax nostalgic about how great 1982 was, but I mean, this would have been like somebody sent home for 3 days. Are now charged with terroristic threats. And maybe there should be. I don't know the individual story of the 16-year-old that was arrested.
I mean, just, again, not knowing all the particulars. The charges, fine. The penalty and the redemption and all of that, you know, you want to try to redeem and help this person in all ways to be a person that can contribute and have a good quality life. But if you did the thing, charges probably the only thing
to do. I just feel like the risk management of life has taken over on all the decisions, and it is treated as some sort of universal thing. And we as a society have lost the ability to kind of individually handle things differently based on the circumstances involved. It's just, nope, this is it. And they do it because if they don't, then and something horrible happens, and then they're all held.
Yeah.
And I understand that side of it too.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Life's just not universal.
It's not. No.
And there are kids out there that are suffering from a lot of things. There are also kids out there that could be dangerous and end a bunch of people's life. And you, I guess, have to err on the side of caution.
Right.
But a bomb threat isn't what a bomb threat used to be.
And
not under the eyes of the law.
That's right. And since that span, you know, the different sort of attacks and things that we've seen are enough that we've got to be more serious about it.
You can't. You've got to cross the T's and dot the I's. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I don't have an answer. I just, when I saw the charges, you know, and I have no idea. This kid may be irredeemable.
Right.
I don't want to think that way about people. But this stuff is going on everywhere. And I don't know what to do about it as a society.
Yeah, man, that is a heavy sort of burden. It's difficult. It's difficult to navigate this stuff. And you know, you're right. It might be somebody that thought they were being funny. It might have been somebody that, you know, had a momentary lapse. It might be somebody that's just not grown up.
Right. And I understand completely, that there's also a line that you have to draw. That line's got to be drawn with Kanye West now. I mean, you can feel bad about the mental health issues and you could go, oh my God, I hate to see this person self-destruct, but at a certain point, what he's doing to hundreds of millions of people, it's got to stop.
That's why he's doing InfoWars. He just got even pulled from Twitter.
But he does InfoWars and then every news outlet
covers the InfoWars.
Combined social media following is bigger than all of that.
I know.
He doesn't even have to do InfoWars.
I know. He's getting nothing from mainstream direct, but they are siphoning off the buzz.
Yeah.
Which is pretty creepy.
It's all creepy.
Yeah. He's not going to do Good Morning America again. I mean, that's something like that. It's over.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to.
I know. Therein lies the run.
He's got a bigger audience than Good Morning America to begin with.
No. He got booted from Twitter.
Don't even get me started there.
Oh, I know. Reading the internet last night was like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I need to just watch Blue Bloods. Whatever.
Yeah,
whatever's on TV, I don't care.
Or watch the Law and Order family. The Reagans, they sit around the Sunday dinner table and figure it out.
I don't think I've paid any attention to any of it, to be honest.
All right, let's do the break. I think it's well past time. All of this is, I would like, I think, to close this out by just saying the bad behavior is just bad behavior universally, but there's also redemption in life. And it's not like that. We are in this dichotomy right now where we want to argue over, that's worse than this is. No, it's all bad.
Yeah.
But we're also in this. And when I say cancel, I'm not saying the political definition. I mean, we're also into this. Well, no one can ever make a mistake or no one can ever redeem themselves. And who gets to be the judge? We're all the judge. Why? Because I got a million followers on Twitter.
Yeah, we got to have grace.
We got to have gray.
Gray and grace, yeah.
But from the gray comes grace. We just don't live in a world with any gray anymore. And most of life is gray. Almost all of it, or at least the important stuff. All right, we'll be back after the break. Stay tuned.
Banking? You got it. At Staley Credit Union, we're unlike a traditional bank. When you join, you own it, so all profits are invested to serve you, like the best technology in digital banking, better rates on loans and savings, and an expert team that knows you on a first-name basis. At Staley Credit Union, you got it. Learn more at staleycu.com. This institution is not federally insured by Member Choice. Proudly insured by American Share Insurance.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
John, what are you doing? Get in my car.
So why are you walking for it?
Thanks, man. It's these insanely high gas prices. They're draining my bank account. I can't afford to drive anymore.
Dude, don't walk. Just do what I do, because I never pay full price for gas anymore. I use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Oh, wait. You're telling me you get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code PAID for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code PAID. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code PAID for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code PAID.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We are back here for just a couple of seconds before we go to the top of the hour, stories and news. $25 a day Visa gift card given away courtesy of Hickory Point Bank Invested this weekend. We're giving away $500. All you have to do is go to nowdecatur.com and sign up. We got daily and weekly prizes, and we'll do this over the next few weeks, giving away about a couple of grand in cash. And it's simple. All you have to do is sign up one time. You're in. That's it. And the earlier you sign up, then the more chances you have of being drawn in one of those either daily or weekend wins. So get there. We'll be back.
Car, home, mobile device, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. The holiday season is upon us. So many events have already kicked off the season, allowing community members to come together and enjoy the festivities. Make sure to stay on top of what's coming up. NowDecatur.com has everything you need to know in terms of upcoming holiday events. Start the holiday season with the 2022 Decatur Christmas Parade. It's coming up tomorrow in downtown Decatur. It'll be filled with fun floats, great music, local celebrities, delicious candy, and more. The parade starts at 4:30 in the downtown historic district near Main Street. There's a wind advisory in effect from noon until midnight. The National Weather Service.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.